one of the keys to it was when we took those beautiful, magnificent, we just ordered 22 more of them, updated model. The B-2 bombers are incredible. I never understood the B-2 bomber. I'd watch it. It's a wing. And I've never quite understood that, Johnny. I'd look at it. I'd say, it was beautiful. But what does it do? It carries very big bombs. And it went into Iran, and it totally decimated the nuclear potential. And when it did, when it decimated that, all of a sudden we had peace in the Middle East, because nobody, there was a black cloud hanging over the Middle East. And if that wasn't done, that cloud would have been there. And countries like Saudi Arabia, countries like Qatar, countries like, nobody could have signed. You would have had that threat. Nobody could have had, you couldn't have had peace in the Middle East. So now we may have to take it a step further, or we may not. Maybe we're going to make a deal. You're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, February the 20th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with 10 days. That is the ultimatum that Trump is giving Iran to accept his deal. Accept the deal in 10 days or else. That is what Trump told everyone that was attending his peace board. First meeting of the peace board, or the board of peace, or the peace board. And Trump said that he will give it around 10 days. That is how long Iran has. Of course, with Trump, he could be bluffing, and it may be more than 10 days that Iran has until he launches some sort of a military operation, or he may launch that military operation tomorrow, or by the time I publish this video. But that's the number that he put to it, 10 days. So now we may have to take it a step further, or we may not. Maybe we're going to make a deal. You're going to be finding out over the next probably 10 days. Probably 10 days, he said. Probably 10 days. I like it. I don't like it. And this is an ultimatum from the U.S. president. You accept the deal to disarm Iran, which includes giving up your ballistic missile deterrence. It goes much further than just uranium enrichment. We're talking about giving up their ballistic missiles, at least no ballistic missiles with a range of over 300 kilometers. Give up on all of your proxies in the region, or else we will attack you. The problem that Iran has is, if they were to agree to this, which obviously they're not going to agree to this, but if they were to agree to such a deal, to make such concessions, then they would have no military deterrence whatsoever, and they would be sitting ducks for an eventual attack from the United States or Israel. So they're damned if they do, they are damned if they don't. And you got to imagine that the Iranian leadership has come to the conclusion that they at least have a fighting chance to remain in power, to keep the country together, if they keep their military deterrence. If they were to give up their military deterrence, then they would be goners. So at least by rejecting Trump's ultimatum, they have a fighting chance. So that's the statement that Trump made during his peace board. He said the same thing to reporters as he was on Air Force One. He said that we're going to find out whether there's going to be a military operation within 10 to 15 days. So he put it at 10 to 15 days when he was on board Air Force One. The Wall Street Journal They are reporting that Trump is weighing a limited strike on Iran, going after Iran's uranium enrichment facilities, going after Iran's ballistic missiles facilities. And this would be a limited strike option. The Wall Street Journal yesterday was reporting that Trump is considering a decapitation strike, a weeks-long military operation that would go after the Iranian leadership and look to take out the Iranian military leadership and topple the government. Now the WSJ is saying limited strikes. I don't buy it. I believe that that if you go off of how Trump has gone about his foreign policy over this second term, then it is completely in line with the WSJ's reporting from yesterday, which is a decapitation strike operation. That is how Trump has played his foreign policy, military operations in his second term. That is how he will most likely play this one, to try and take out the military leadership with some sort of shock and awe, massive air campaign. And once you take out the military leadership, then the government collapses. And who knows what comes after that. Perhaps a breaking up of Iran or something along those lines. But the neocons, Netanyahu, Israel, they will not let Trump go with a limited strike into Iran. They did that during the whole stealth bomber operation, during the whole 12-day war. Trump did the whole limited strike on the uranium enrichment facilities. And they're not going to let him get away with that one this time around. They're going to want regime change. They're going to demand regime change. Anything outside of regime change, and they're going to consider this a complete debacle for the U.S. president, and Trump is going to be toast. He's going to have the neocons against him, the Republican establishment against him, the Democrat establishment against him, Israel against him, Netanyahu against him. They're all demanding a regime change, a collapse of the government, and who knows, a breaking apart of the country. That's what they're demanding from Trump. So that's the situation with Iran, the latest situation with Iran. We could be seeing a strike this weekend. We could be seeing a strike next weekend. I think the chances are very, very remote that we're going to have some sort of a deal agreed on. Everyone is expecting a U.S. military operation, and everyone is expecting a big U.S. military operation in order to take out the Iranian leadership. The big question is if the Iranian leadership can absorb the shock and awe blow that is about to come to them. Trump's going to want a quick resolution, a quick military victory, a regime change and a collapse within a week or two, maybe within a month, if the Iranian leadership can survive the first couple of weeks or the first month, then they will come out victorious in all of this, I believe. I don't think that the Trump administration will be able to go for more than a month, or it will be a big mess if Trump is put in a position where he's going to have to continue the operation for more than a month. He probably will continue the operation for more than a month, but it's going to really cost him a lot. It's going to cost him the midterms. It's going to be a massive debacle, massive catastrophe if this thing goes for longer than a month. But if it does go for longer than a month, then Iran is in a good position. So we're looking at the United States going for a quick regime change, and Iran's going to try and prevent the regime change. That's the situation there. The Board of Peace meeting, it kicked off yesterday. No No big superpowers have signed up to the Board of Peace. China was not there. Russia was not there. I don't think India was present. Was India present? I don't think so. But we did get to the first meeting of the Board of Peace. They kicked it off with some interesting music. We had November Rain from Guns N' Roses playing. This is not a joke. It's not a clown world. The music that they had playing, which is pretty good music, I guess, was GNR, November Rain. They also played, what's the song? Calling Gloria, Gloria, what's the song? Oh man, I forgot the name of the song. Laura Branigan, Gloria. That's an old one, but a good one. They had that song playing as well. And Malay was sitting next to Orban during the Board of Peace meeting. And they were singing to another song. I forgot the name of that song. I forgot all the names of the songs that were playing during the Board of Peace meeting. That was the important part of this entire meeting, where it was the music that was playing. Elvis Presley's Burning Love. Malay liked that one. So the Board of Peace, it officially kicks off. Morocco, Bahrain, Argentina, Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Albania, Egypt, Hungary, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, Jordan, Paraguay. Belarus was there? Okay, Belarus was present. Did I say Kazakhstan? Kazakhstan was present. You had the leader of Kazakhstan. He said that Trump should get some sort of an award. Tokayev said that Trump should be presented with some award, or the Board of Peace should have some sort of Board of Peace prize. I would like to propose establishing a special President Trump's award of the Board of Peace to recognize his outstanding peace-building achievements. It's not a Nobel Prize. It's not a Nobel Prize. It's a Board of Peace prize. I like it. I'll take it. I will take it. It's a good idea, Mr. Tokayev, a Board of Peace prize. Give it to me. So we had that yesterday. And we also had the arrest of Andrew. That went down yesterday. Andrew has been arrested. He was questioned by the British police, and he was let go. He's still under investigation. But he has been released. The man formerly known as Prince. He was arrested. Now he goes by Andrew of Mountain Bomb from the Castle Grayskull. Or the Castle Windsor, anyway. They decided to go with Andrew. That is what the UK establishment, in my opinion, has decided to go with, arresting Andrew. And I guess the calculation is that this will be enough to take the pressure off of Mandelson, which really means taking the pressure off of Keir Starmer. So the way I see this going down, and this is just me using my imagination, I'm not saying this happened, but I'm imagining a meeting took place between this did not happen, by the way, or at least I don't have any proof or evidence that this happened. This is just my imagination. I imagine a meeting taking place between Starmer and the king, and Starmer telling the king, you know, your royal highness, I've got a problem with this whole Epstein thing. It could bring down my administration. Mandelson is knee deep in this Epstein stuff. We got some money. Allegedly, there was some money that exchanged hands, and this could lead all the way to my government's collapse. And you know, you have Andrew, and he's been a problem for the royal family. He's caught up in this whole Epstein thing. What do you think we should do? And I could see the king and Keir sitting down together and saying, well, I guess we can give up Andrew, and maybe your problem will go away, Mr. Prime Minister. and maybe the royal family's problem will go away. So let's give it a shot. I can see that going down, but I'm not saying it did go down. It probably did not go down. It definitely did not go down like that. But anyway, we'll see if this buys Starmer some time, or if this gives Starmer all the time. If everyone says Andrew's enough, and we can forget about Mandelson and all the other stuff with the Epstein files. We'll see. But that was big news, Andrew's arrest. How many people have been arrested in the United States from Epstein, from the whole Epstein thing? I think the number is zero. Some people have been. I don't even know if people have been fired. Have people been fired? I know people have stepped down from their positions in the United States. But I'm trying to think, was anyone fired? Maybe people were fired. But so far, we've had no investigations, or at least they haven't. The DOJ hasn't talked about any investigations that are going on or any arrests or questioning. Nothing like that has happened in the United States. Thomas Massey has pointed this out. He said that that in the UK, they are investigating Andrew. But in the US, nothing. So that was Massey's statement. In Norway, there are a lot of Norwegian officials caught up in the whole Epstein thing. Has anyone been arrested in Norway? I do believe they have investigations going on. They're investigating the former prime minister. What was that guy's name? Jagland, I believe is his name. But I think he's under investigation or being questioned. Something's going on with him. You have the royal family. Or the princess? Is it the princess that has been caught up in the whole Epstein thing? Maybe the princess. I forget. A whole lot of very high level Norway officials are caught up in the whole Epstein thing, and at least Norway, the Norwegians have not lost their sense of humor in all of this. There's a photo on social media from a bookstore. And it has a sign which says Epstein Island guest list. And it has all the books written by people that were allegedly caught up in the whole Epstein thing or on the Epstein Island. And it has their books there. So I guess when you go to the bookstore, you can go to the Epstein Island section in Norway. Jeez. Oh, boy. So Starmer has told Trump that he will not have access to any UK military facilities if he is going to go through with an attack on Iran. That is going to upset the Trump administration. But according to the Times of the UK, Starmer is going to be blocking Trump from using RAF bases for strikes on Iran. The disagreement over the use of British sites is behind the U.S. president's withdrawal of support for the Chagos Islands deal, the Times understands. So Starmer is blocking Trump, or at least blocking Trump from access to UK military facilities if and when an operation against Iran is launched. We'll see how that goes down for Starmer. We'll see how long that resistance lasts from 008. The European Union is saying that they should not buy U.S. weapons, but European weapons with their latest weapons slush fund. And this is pissing off the Pentagon. Pentagon aggressively lobbies EU against by European weapons push. In previously unreported remarks, the U.S. administration warned Brussels that it will retaliate if Europeans strong-arm American companies out of the market. Yeah, this has to do with all of the slush funds that the EU is currently creating or has created. The SAFE slush fund, which I believe Canada has now been approved for, and then the UK is also in line to be approved for this, where they take all of this EU money, this fund money that Ursula has put into a big pot, and they use this money to purchase weapons, and then they send these weapons, or they have the option of sending these weapons to the Green Goblin. And Macron is on the side of Europeans that want these funds to have clauses which force the countries that take the money out of these funds to first purchase weapons from European MICs. But then you have leaders like BlackRock, Mertz, and I believe Maloney as well, who are saying, let's not be so strict, let's not force EU member states and other countries that are participating in these funds to force them to buy from European MICs, let them buy from American MIC companies. So those are the two opposing sides. But the United States is not happy with these restrictions that are being talked about in the EU to force EU member states and countries not in the EU that are taking part in these funds to force them to purchase from European weapons manufacturers. And the United States might retaliate against the EU if they continue with this policy. Georgia Maloney, she gave an interview where she is now saying that the conflict in Ukraine is getting very close to a resolution. And that is what Georgia Maloney is saying. The security guarantees are getting very close to being agreed on. And she said that we're going to be looking at some sort of Article 5 type of an arrangement. And Maloney made it clear that this was her idea. She came up with the Article 5-like security guarantee agreement that they're very close to putting together for Le Gobelin Vert. And she also said that they're very close to agreeing on some sort of a reconstruction reparations package as well. And all of this is being agreed on and discussed, not with Russia, but amongst themselves. So between the EU member states, between the collective West and the United States, Witkoff and Kushner, and Le Gobelin Vert, they're very close to agreeing on an Article 5-like arrangement and a reparations package. It must be a very difficult negotiation that is taking place between the Europeans and Le Gobelin Vert. Now Maloney is very much in an open row with Macron, because Maloney decided to weigh in on the murder of a 23-year-old political activist in France. And Macron did not like this. And he told Maloney, or at least he was speaking to reporters, and he said that Maloney needs to mind her own business. That was the statement from Macron. So those two never liked each other. They still do not like each other. And Maloney, she has also decided that she is going to partner up with BlackRock Mertz and form an Italy-Germany alliance against Macron, Italy and Germany in an alliance. The more things change, the more they stay the same. So let's talk about Germany, and let's talk about the German publication Spiegel, which published an article on the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. And according to Spiegel and their information, their investigation, it looks like the Ukrainians, the diving experts that are Ukrainian, they sought the financing and the advice and the consultation of the CIA. Going back to early 2022, the Ukrainian expert divers that made up this sabotage team, that according to the reports was headed by Zaluzhny, or Zaluzhny was in the know and a part of this entire operation, the ambassador of Ukraine to the UK, or was the ambassador of Ukraine to the UK. I don't even know if Zelensky is still ambassador of Ukraine to the UK, but doesn't matter. This Ukrainian expert team, they sought the help of the United States CIA. And at first, the CIA, they liked the idea that these Ukrainian expert divers came up with to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. And the CIA was on board with this plan. And they were ready to fund and finance this plan. And then in the early summer of 2022, something happened and the CIA changed their minds. And they said, nah, this is not a good idea. This is not an operation that we want to be involved with. But by that time, according to Spiegel, the Ukrainian team had already decided to go ahead with the blowing up of Nord Stream. And the CIA was not going to finance this. So the Ukrainian team, they found funds from elsewhere. They decided to get financing from someone else. Who was that someone else? And the CIA could not stop them. It was already too late. The decision had been made. The operation was a go. And the rest is history, as they say. The CIA knew about Kiev plot to blow up Nord Stream, according to Spiegel. It's good, the U.S. agency told Ukrainian saboteurs about the plan, according to the outlet's sources. Let me see if I have some more information on this. Another quote from the German publication Spiegel. One second. Yeah, Poland is also implicated in all of this. Poland also assisted, as did Zelensky. Well, Poland helped with the renting of the yacht, the small yacht that sailed into the Baltic Sea to eventually blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. Crazy stuff. In February 2022, Biden warned that in the event of an all-out military conflict between Russia and Ukraine, there will no longer be a Nord Stream. We will bring an end to it. Remember that statement from Biden? With Olaf Scholz standing right next to him? The Americans apparently liked the plan, the Ukrainian sources told Spiegel, and the two sides exchanged technical details about the operation, reportedly codenamed Diameter. The U.S. agents told our boys, that's good, that's fine, about the plan to target the pipelines. A person familiar with the conversations told Spiegel, noting an impression that the U.S. was willing to finance such an operation. According to Spiegel, in early summer 2022, the Americans changed their stance, saying that they could not support the operation and would not provide money for its execution, according to the report. So there you go. Germany, a German media outlet, saying that the United States knew about Nord Stream. That's what this article is really all about. The United States, the CIA, knew about the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage because this Ukrainian diving team told them about it and sought their help about it and sought their financing in order to execute it. Quite an amazing article from Germany, from this German media outlet. Why would they publish such an article pointing to the CIA, even though they do say the CIA decided to pull back from this? The message of this story is that the United States, the CIA, was in the know. Why did the CIA not warn everybody in Europe? Why did the CIA not tell Germany about this? Why did they not tell Switzerland or the Netherlands? I believe they had a stake in the whole Nord Stream consortium, to warn Russia about this. There's going to be a big sabotage, perhaps the sabotage of our generation, of our lifetime, is about to take place. We need to arrest these Ukrainians. We need to stop these Ukrainians. They came to us. They came to us and they sought help from us. Are we supposed to believe this, that this team of Ukrainians went to the CIA and they sought their help? They're the ones that approached the CIA? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Yes, it is. And that is exactly what happened, everybody. That is exactly how all of this went down. So that is the update on Nord Stream. They're also throwing Zelensky under the bus. So they kind of throw the United States under the bus, Germany, this German publication. And they're kind of throwing Zelensky once again under the bus by bringing up his name again in connection with these expert Ukrainian divers on this small yacht rented from Poland. That's the story. Ukrainian divers rent a small yacht from Poland with Zelensky, the mastermind behind all of this. That's what they want us to believe. And I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Yep, no doubt about it. That's how all of this happened. So yeah, Zelensky, he's in a fight with Zelensky. I think Germany's trying to protect Zelensky. I think they're upset with the United States because the U.S. is pulling back from pretending to pull back from Project Ukraine, or pretending to pull back from NATO and from the Transatlantic Partnership, pretending. And perhaps they threw this story out there to stick it to the U.S. or to stick it to Zelensky and to stick it to Zelensky, because Zelensky is once again fighting with Zelensky. There was some sort of an attempted, what looked like to be an attempted coup that was going to take place in 2024 following the super-duper 2023 counteroffensive that offended me and offended you and offended everybody, that was defeated by the Russian military, that failed spectacularly and was completely routed by the Russian military, and embarrassment for Zelensky, and embarrassment for the NATO command in Germany that was directing this entire counteroffensive. Zelensky was not happy with Zelensky, and there was some sort of a coup that Zelensky was threatening against Zelensky. He was going to move forces into Kiev. And then eventually they decided on Zelensky's exit to London. But they're now arguing about this. And so perhaps this is Germany's way of siding with Zelensky against Zelensky. Maybe this story is connected to this whole Zelensky-Zelensky fight that is taking place. Medvedev weighed into all of this by saying the green fly is worried after Zelensky's interview and is pestering the Yanks about elections in Ukraine, claiming Russia wants to swat the Kiev bug. The U.S. doesn't care about elections, but the two-bit clown is a useful idiot. The longer he's in power, the smaller the Ukraine. That was Medvedev's comments to all of this. And as far as the United States goes, and Trump's constant statements claiming that he is looking for peace in Ukraine, and that the United States is the neutral mediator in all of this, we know that if the United States really wanted the conflict in Ukraine to end and really wanted peace, they could achieve it within a week's time by simply stopping the military aid, the selling of weapons to Europe, by stopping the sharing of satellite information and intelligence, and by rolling back the sanctions on Russia. But the United States is not doing any of that. Trump is not doing any of that. Maybe this is some Trump 20D chess that he is playing, but I doubt it. Trump has decided to extend the sanctions on Russia for another year. Every year that the U.S. sanctions against Russia are coming up for renewal, Trump is renewing them. He could, as president of the United States, as the powerful president of the United States that he claims to be, as the greatest negotiator of our time, he could decide to say, you know what, it's time for these sanctions to go away, to wind them down. And it's time for us to stop supporting this conflict in Ukraine so that we get a peace in Ukraine. But he doesn't do that. So the issue of India and Russian oil, seems like we have some clarity there. The ambassador of India to Russia, he told Izvestia newspaper in Russia that India will continue to purchase oil from Russia despite pressure from the United States. There was a lot of talk about tankers that are now heading towards China that normally were heading towards India are now heading towards China. And this is proof that India is siding with the United States and will no longer purchase Russian oil because of the tanker route, the route change. But Alexander brought up a really good point. I think his analysis is correct on this one. We should not look at the tankers that are now going to China as proof that India is going to stop purchasing Russian oil. And they're moving away from Russian oil and they're going to be siding with the United States because of the recent trade deal that they made with Trump. But what this most likely indicates, the fact that we see a lot of oil now heading to China, what this indicates is that China does anticipate a big war in the Middle East with Iran, perhaps anticipates the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, and is probably stockpiling on oil. I think that's a much more plausible explanation than India giving up on Russian oil. Anyway, the ambassador to Russia for India is saying that this is not going to happen. India is going to continue to purchase Russian oil. So should we do a clown world and wrap up today's Friday video? I think we should. I'm kind of low energy today. But let's get walking and let's do a clown world. So today's clown world has to do with aliens. That's how you know things are really bad for the Trump administration when they're talking about aliens. I think this whole thing was a setup, if you want my opinion. I think that the Trump administration is playing 10D chess with Obama, and they're trying to find a way to distract from Epstein, from the war with Iran. I think this was all played out, all planned out. Obama does this interview. He's asked about aliens. He says aliens exist, but they're not in Area 51. But they do exist. It's a big universe. He then posts on Instagram a kind of walk back from that statement, but it doesn't matter. It was already, he already put it out there. And now a reporter asks Trump about the whole aliens thing, and Trump says that Obama should not have talked about this. He's revealing national security secrets or something like that. I don't know what secrets Obama revealed when he said that aliens exist, but not at Area 51. Anyway, Trump said that Obama should not have spoken about aliens. But then Trump posts on Truth Social, based on the tremendous interest shown, I will be directing the Secretary of War and other relevant departments and agencies to begin the process of identifying and releasing government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomenon, and unidentified flying objects, UFOs, and any and all other information connected to these highly complex but extremely interesting and important matters. God bless America. Yeah, I think this whole thing was a setup. Let's talk about aliens, everybody. Let's not talk about the Epstein files. Let's not talk about the war that is coming up with Iran, the very big, looks like a very big war military operation that's about to go down in the Middle East. Let's talk about aliens. They've brought out the alien card. So that's the clown world, all kinds of memes on the interwebs, which are pointing this out.
I like this meme. I'll put it up on the screen right now. Let's all focus on aliens. The Epstein, no Epstein questions, please. And you can see Trump standing in front of reporters. There's another meme of remember all the people that Pam Bondi called in, all the influencers that Pam Bondi called into the White House, or that the White House called in, and they were given the BS dossier. They said this was the dossier of the Epstein files. Then they walked out of the White House, and they were all holding up the what they thought was some Epstein revelation and transparency from the Trump White House. And there's now the meme of them outside of the White House holding holding dossiers with an alien picture. The memes that are coming out for this are pretty funny. But yeah, I think it's actually, you know, this clown world is actually very revealing. It is a very revealing statement from Trump, a Truth Social post about aliens. It says a lot. It says a lot about where we are and where we're heading. So that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram. We're on Substack. So check us out on Substack as well. Go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch, free shipping for orders over $70. Like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Why should you subscribe to this channel? Because where else are you going to get geopolitics, walk and talks, and cats chilling out? You're not going to find that anywhere else. So I think that's reason enough to like this video and subscribe. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.